You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. The Cavs lost on Wednesday night to the New Orleans Pelicans, 140-124. They gave up a new season high in points. They were the first team all season to make 8 threes in the first quarter without missing, so that's a positive for them. And I'm Chris Manning, your host from ForTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. You can, as always, find the show on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Today's show is not going to talk about that game. That game is another Cavs loss. They've lost 11 in a row. Like I'm sort of doing right now, we're going to go look big picture a little bit. We're going to get back to that nuance in the coming days and weeks. But Mike Zavgano is my guest today. For Tactics Thursday, we looked at the roster. We looked at what's good, what's bad, what is just boring about it right now, breaking on who we think could be in the team next year. It's a longer episode, so I don't want to take any more of your time listening to me babble. Again, Cavs lost 11 in a row. They suck right now. So we're going to break down the roster and see what actually is worth keeping around next year. So stay tuned for that. And without further ado, here is me and Mike, and we'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. And for this week's Tactics Thursday, it's not really Tactics Thursday necessarily, but Mike Zavgano from For the Sword and Dime Mag is here. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
You know, I just watched the Cavs give up 140 points. That's how I'm doing. We're deep into a season that is particularly quickly not becoming particularly interesting. I think, you know, especially I'm a little tainted because of other sports things kind of going on right now. Just, I mean, the Freddie Kitchens thing is just like a much more interesting story to follow right now, frankly, in the Cavs, and I don't even cover LeBron. So that's just like where I'm at right now. But I pitched Mike when we talked about doing our first Tactics Thursday in a couple weeks because of the holidays and everything. I was like, okay, let's talk about why they just suck against 2-3 defenses. We're probably going to talk about that again at some point. I'm actually surprised more teams haven't busted it out against the Cavs because it's not like that's a particularly hard thing to install, to my understanding of talking just how teams have implemented it with some coaches I've talked to. But we're going to look at the Cavs roster. 22 Cleveland Cavaliers have appeared in games this season as of Wednesday night. That's a lot of guys. We're going to basically go through them and kind of look at some guys we think are NBA players, some that we think are not rotation guys, some guys we think maybe have some upside. The names we are not going the one name we're basically, the two names we're not going to talk about at all, three names actually, are Patrick McCaw, well, four because I keep bringing up the list. So Patrick McCaw, Sam Decker, John Holland, and Andrew Harrison. Those guys don't factor in. They're not with the team anymore. McCaw obviously just signed with the Raptors for the rest of the season. So, Mike, let's start at the very top of the roster. Kevin Love has played in four games this year. I think there are going to be more uncomfortable-ish Kevin Love conversations to be had in the weeks and months to come. We don't exactly know when he's going to come back. And I don't want to spend too much time on him because I don't think he's one of the more interesting cases for the purpose of this discussion, because we know Kevin Love's good, and I think we can project how he's going to age. But I just want to know, are you interested in seeing him as part of the rebuild over the next couple years, or are you interested in seeing what you could get for him to assist that rebuild?
I think I'm interested in exploring the market if there's going to be a robust offer. I would doubt that is actually the case, and would assume that, you know, if the Cavs were to look to trade Kevin Love, the market would be quite tepid, at least right now. You know, potentially if he were to come back and play well, then teams might look at it. But, you know, I don't really think that his contract is, as currently constructed, a value contract going forward. And so I think that, you know, Kevin Love might be here regardless of whether the Cavs really, really want that or not.
So Ken Berger of Bleacher Report, who has worked for The Athletic and CBS, is a great reporter, basically had an executive tell him the other day that Kevin Love and John Wall's contracts are the two worst in the NBA right now. So I think it could be hard to trade him. I think if they are going to trade him, it's not going to happen now. And I've said this, I think, on like the last like five podcasts, I swear, but I think if they're going to trade him, it's going to be this summer, late July, early August, when teams miss out on free agents and like feel like they need to go get somebody. And that guy just might be Kevin Love. I think that's the prime opportunity, that prime window to trade him for the maximum value that you could get in return. That is just like me kind of speculating there, but I think that would be the likeliest time to trade him. Me personally, though, I do worry about him aging. You know, the back, the knees, the hands. There's concerns there, the feet, and at this point too. I don't hate the idea of having him helping you rebuild because he's going to give you structure. He's going to give, you know, let's say they end up with like RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish or some, one of these guys that aren't Zion, which is very possible based on the lottery odds. They're going to be in a situation where like I think they're going to need some structure for these young guys. Colin Sexton, I think, really needs it. Jetty really needs it. And I think he can at least help with that and still be productive in that way, even if he doesn't raise the floor or the quality of your team to the degree he might have a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Like I said, I mean, I think that it would be fairly tough for the Cavs to move Kevin Love on that contract without, you know, potentially attaching assets or taking something back that's not great. And it's just kind of hard to see, you know, if you're going to be paying Kevin Love that much, you're probably a team that's interested in making the playoffs or a playoff team already. You know, and it's just difficult to see where the value matching could come. So I think that, you know, it's not necessarily great for the Cavs to have him on that contract. But as you said, I think it's, you know, welcome sight for Kevin Love to return, try to help out some of these young guys, you know, obviously give them more optionality on the offensive end and hopefully help some of these guys grow, because we've seen, you know, a few of the younger guys struggle and kind of stagnate a bit just because their roles on offense right now are 1, 2, 3 dials up than where they probably should be if you're crafting an ideal world.
So I'll also just say that I think with Kevin Love, I do think there is the worst case scenario would really for me be with him would be to if they had to trade him and attach something to him to get off the money. That would be like a disaster. That would, I think, be like the doomsday scenario for this deal. But I don't know if that's possible. So moving on, the next guy on the list, as he's the rank on Basketball Reference, it's Jetty Osmond. So his stat line for the year, he's playing 31.8 minutes a game. That is the most in the non-Kevin Love category. So Tristan's a little behind him. He's averaging 11.7 points per game. He is shooting a little under 40% from the field, a little over 30% from three, averaging 2.3 assists against 1.6 turnovers, and is averaging 4.8 rebounds per game. Mike, I'm going to give you the floor on what you think of Jetty, because I haven't looked up his defensive RPM in a while, and I'm going to go check that out. But what do you feel about Jetty as what you've seen through about a little over half this NBA season, his first real NBA season, something he has called his rookie season?
I think it's certainly been up and down, you know, obviously marred by injury a bit at the beginning. And after that, you know, he's definitely one of those guys who is in a role that doesn't suit him at this point in time. You would like him to probably be handling the ball a bit less, kind of be more of an off-ball guy, you know, someone who can catch, secondary, create, break down the defense a little bit. And so I think that he's been okay. He certainly hasn't been great by any stretch. The jumper, there's been some flashes, especially given the excitement over the new form that he brought into the season. But I mean, he's really struggled to shoot the ball, just 31% from three on the season. 56% at the rim. You wonder if that's some lingering injuries, and it's been certainly a bit of an up and down ride. But you know, he's obviously getting that experience, and you would hope that that would allow him to kind of transition to a smaller role whenever the Cavs are looking to be good at basketball again.
Can you? I don't know if you've looked at this, so I could just be setting myself up to like be owned here. But do you know what his defensive RPM is?
I do not, off the top of my head. No.
Give me a guess. Just throw out a number.
Negative 1.8.
Negative 3.35.
There we go.
That is the second worst in the league among small forwards. The only player worse is Kevin Knox, who is at negative 3.78. Here's my thing about that. I don't think he benefits. The thing that it makes me like wonder what he would look like if David Nwaba could play with him more and was healthy, or if they just like had other wings that were good. I think he's having to guard guys that are too big for him, and the Cavs have like no real defensive scheme. Like Mike Longobardi, if he's on the coaching staff next year, I just want to know like what dirt he has on somebody at this
I think
point.
we should all boycott it. If he's on the
It's
coaching staff
unbelievable.
here.
Like, oh man. Go ahead. Yeah, just I think you're right. A boycott would be fair for Mike Longobardi.
It's that bad.
They're
It
so
really is.
bad. But he's really not. I don't know if he's not good on defense yet, but he tries, and I don't think he. I don't know enough about how defensive RPM is calculated to like know how this factors into it. If they like account for like, okay, this guy's guarding on a position. I don't think it does to my knowledge, but I think he's guarding guys that my gut tells me without having done a big breakdown of this yet is that he's guarding guys out of position, and that makes me that colors of how like concerned I would be basically.
Yeah, I think that we saw last year especially that he had more success on smaller guys than bigger guys. I think that the Cavs would deploy him a decent amount against point guards, especially last year in the stages where they really didn't have one. And now obviously with the lack of depth on the wings, the Cavs are using him sometimes as a three, sometimes as a four, but really especially in Nwaba's absence, having to guard that premier wing threat on the opposing team. And I think that you'd probably, in an ideal world, like to slide him down potentially to guarding more shooting guard size guys. Obviously, with Sexton now guarding the point guards, and then hopefully fill in behind him with some guys who are built better to handle those wing driving type players.
We're gonna do this. I just want to ask you real quick on both Love and Osman. So we're gonna do this for all the guys. Should have done this from the beginning. But Kevin Love, yes, on the roster. If you were building the team, and you could do whatever you wanted, would he be on the roster at the start of next season?
No.
Osman.
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance as a duo. So obviously they've played the bulk of the minutes up front this season. Both have missed some time with injury. Both are doing different things. Tristan's been really, really good when he's been super healthy. Nance has shown flashes of other things. If you're looking for a really interesting, I think, incident to where that is at for him, he was on road tripping this week, and he talked a little bit about how he's kind of putting his toe in the water here. So I think that is. So with Nance and Thompson, providing different things, I think both are useful. I think both have kind of led the team this year to some degree. Let's start with Larry Nance. I think we've seen him dip that toe in the water a little bit with in terms of the ball creation, the shooting. Are you intrigued at all by him in a way you weren't at the beginning of the year because of the stuff he's done, or is it just like whatever?
I thought last year that he displayed some fairly solid passing instincts, but obviously, it didn't come through as much in the raw numbers, the assist percentage and things of that nature. And so this year you've seen, I mean, his assist percentage right now is in the 93rd percentile of all bigs, which is obviously excellent. And I think that it's real. I mean, I don't think that it's just, him getting random assists or home assists or whatever you want to say. I do think that he sees windows pretty well in terms of his passing. I think that it could be because he was one of those guys who had the late growth spurt. So he did play a guard position for a little bit longer of his life than most big guys. And so that vision may have carried over. But no, I mean, I do think that that type of skill is an intriguing one. And it's especially positive on a team that just does not have passers at the moment. So I'm not entirely sure what an offense looks like if you're, building like a good offense where Larry Nance is a passer. You're not going to have him as your hub, and you're not really going to have him post up. But I think that he could be interesting in some, semi-transition or DHO type situations. But it certainly is an intriguing trait that I think he even explored more probably this season.
I want him also just to have the green light to launch threes and just see what happens. I really just don't. I don't see the. I don't want to have hesitancy with him in that. I get if you want him to make a shot inside first or just something to get him in the game. But I think he just should have the green light and just should be encouraged to take more of them. I just want to see if he can do it, and it might be a year thing. Like Derek Favors has talked about, and he's obviously not shooting them really this year for Utah. But you talk about how it's a year for a guy like him to start doing that. I think I just want to see Nance shoot them more. Currently, Nance is only shooting, looking at best according to Basketball Reference, and he didn't play obviously the other on Wednesday. He's only shooting exactly one per game, so that's nothing. Tristan Thompson. He's been really good this year. I think the best guy on the team, been a leader. He's 27. Goes into last year's contract next year. I think there should be something sort of sentimental about him being a guy that's just around for a long time and is a pillar of the franchise. Does that interest you? Does that interest you in what he's gonna, how he's gonna age, what the Cavs are gonna need? Does him being that sound like something that makes sense to you at all?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I can't speak about Tristan because I just don't generally think that he's good at basketball. But no, I think that what he's done rebounding this year has been excellent. He still doesn't make shots around the basket at all, and his rebounds don't actually really help the Cavs from an offensive perspective because he doesn't make the shots when he rebounds them. But no, I mean, I think his leadership has been good. He certainly looks much healthier. If I was another GM, I would absolutely not trade for him. So I would assume that he'll probably be around. But yeah, no, it's been nice to see him play well.
Yeah, it's and it, I don't really obviously critique him for having to run post ups against Anthony Davis because that's just the offense Larry Drew's running right now. Okay, so Tristan Thompson, I'm gonna get the vibe that if you could, you would say no for him on the roster next year, but Larry Nance, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if I could move Tristan, I would love to. I don't think that that's possible. If I could move Larry Nance, I mean, I just wish that the Cavs wouldn't have signed Larry Nance to that contract.
Look, sells him and Delly. I'm just gonna say this. This is me being sort of cynical and half joking. Him and Delly sell jerseys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I don't think that that's really a value contract.
No,
And
I mean, I don't think you're totally wrong about that. No.
It's difficult to be paying guys that type of money when you're trying to build a system that's going to fit the modern game. That's hampered further by the fact that a lot of the players on your team already can't shoot. So, I mean, if Nance is going to be your backup center making that number, it just doesn't make sense because centers are a dime a dozen. And if you're looking for if you're looking for one player in this NBA, I feel like center is the easiest to find. I think that's kind of one that you just have to bite the bullet at this point. But again, I don't really think that other teams would see it as a value contract.
Yeah, I'd agree. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back with more Locked On Cavaliers with Mike Zivagano. One, two. All right, and we're back. So, okay, Alec Burks is next. We're going to save Sexton for later. I'm just going to say that I think we can kind of skip past Burks because I think his value is in terms of trading him. He will very, very likely not be on the team next year.
I agree.
Okay, Rodney Hood. Oh boy. On a human level, I feel for Rodney Hood because what kind of money is he going to get this summer? And is it less than what the Cavs offered him? That seems possible to me. I also just am not impressed by him enough to really look at him as someone I would want to keep around. And if you're asking me if the Cavs are probably going to draft a wing if they don't take Zion because they don't get their one pick and they take someone Little or Reddish or RJ Barrett or whoever.
Jarrett Culver.
Yeah, that tease for tomorrow show. Trevor Magnotti is driving the Culver hype train. So
We're
listen to that.
standing for Jarrett Culver.
Yeah, it's a he's. I'm intrigued too as well. But they're gonna potentially take a wing. If you're looking at the guys that are on the roster now, obviously you have, You have Hood, you have Burks, you have Jetty, you have Nawaba. I would have had McCaw over Hood. My rankings for me for next season, it's really like in terms of guys that could leave, so Nawaba, Hood, Burks. Nawaba, then Hood, then Burks, but I'm not really super interested in paying Rodney Hood like $9 million a year. I'm just not.
Yeah, I mean, Hood essentially has been the exact same player for like a number of years now. Like, even in an offense where in theory you would think he would have a larger role this season, I mean, his usage is still under Utah levels. He's, you know, basically where he was last year for the Cavs. You know, he's basically been the exact same guy in terms of where he takes his shots from. He's never going to get to the rim. He loves shooting floaters. He doesn't get to the free throw line often, and he shoots a lot of, you know, mid-range type shots. And I mean, certainly the Cavs are one of the foremost proponents of the mid-range game at the current juncture, but you would like to think that coach, you know, whoever is the head coach next season will not be so accepting of those shots. And I'm just not really sure that Rodney Hood's a guy who's going to change at this point in his career.
No, he should be encouraged to take more threes, I think, is one thing. Yeah, so he's a no for me, but I'll put a caveat on him that if the contract is workable, and it's like maybe 1 year and you just want to have the body there, I wouldn't hate it, but I wouldn't really like go out of my way to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, it's, no one's going to pay him, and he's stuck on the open market, and you can get him at a value, it might be worth it, but, you know, I wouldn't want to go into next year relying on Rodney Hood to be a starter on my basketball team.
Nope, not at all. Okay, so next we go to Jordan Clarkson. The last time I checked, the owner of a worse defensive RPM than both Colin Sexton and Trae Young. I'm going to check that now to verify if that is still in fact true. It is actually not worse now. He's still at -3.64. He's one of four players that are 3 points or worse, according to the defensive RPM, worse than 3 points per 100 possessions, according to the defensive RPM. Mike, I gave you Sexton. It's Clarkson, Sexton, and Trae Young. Who's the fourth one in that grouping?
Point guards only?
Point guards only. I'll give you a hint. He's someone that Cavs Twitter blames for things.
Deli?
Spencer no. Dinwiddie.
Oh, there we go. Interesting.
Yeah, -3.72. But Clarkson had three blocks against the Pelicans, weirdly. But I don't give him fault for really taking a lot of shots. I actually have a like. The one thing I will give Larry Drew credit for is that he has kind of pushed Clarkson off of some screens and some cuts lately to tone down some of his bad tendencies. The guy has skill making shots that are hard. It's just the way he does them and usually gets them isn't, I think, exactly optimal. I think he's probably on the team next year just because of the contract. I would flip him if I could. I would not attach assets to flip him either. So I think Jordan Clarkson's just kind of going to be around for another year. And that's not great, but it's not... Just because I think he has shown some nice ability to work off ball this year, and I'm kind of intrigued by that, if that could be honed a little bit, I can live with it, I guess.
The Cavs would score like 80 points a game if he didn't play for them.
Yes. So that's positive. Shouts to him. Shouts to him.
I honestly, like, rooting for Jordan Clarkson when you're a fan of a good team was quite terrible. But, you know, rooting for Jordan Clarkson when you're a fan of the worst team in the NBA is, like, kind of fine. I mean, he doesn't make me that mad anymore. It's just like, oh, Jordan Clarkson, that's nice. He takes some shots and makes them, and we don't score 80 points. But, you know, personally right now, if I were the Cavs, I would actually be trying to make Clarkson play point guard. I think that he had a pretty solid role as a backup point guard in his rookie season in LA, and I'd just be like, look, Jordan, like, run some pick and rolls and, like, make some passes and, you know, see if we can get some additional value out of you, like, going forward next season. But yeah, I mean, like you said, he's going to be around. It doesn't hurt to have somebody who can, like, score baskets off the bench, He probably won't be anything more than that. But like, if you told me that Jordan Clarkson was still playing basketball in the NBA like 10 years from now and just was kind of like Jamal Crawford or something, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, with like a much more serious like fashion game. Like the things I've seen him wear this year, that just like I'd provide me like with some levity in a weird season. There was an Instagram post that I think he deleted where he was wearing like a pearl necklace with the Chanel logo on it. Like very, like a lot of questions, but I respect it.
That's not what you're wearing to work every day.
No, that's not my fit. He wore the West Virginia Almost Heaven trucker hat that was too small for his head. He had the head to toe Cleveland Indians fit. The guy pulls off stuff. That is pretty incredible. To quote the exile J.R. Smith, he's the swag god. I'm okay with the swag god being around. Campaign, 2 games with the Cavs, double figures. Should not be on the roster next year. Maybe on the roster the rest of the year because they just like don't have a lot of bodies. But like is not a good player. End of story.
Why can't they just sign a random wing from the D League? It should not be this hard.
I mean, I don't understand. We sort of know why, but like they're never gonna like admit this. Why not just actually like just pay Pat McCaw $3 million?
Just literally take a flyer on any person who has like a +3 wingspan and hope that they can like one day shoot. Like, why do we have to watch Cam Payne play basketball?
It's a good question. When you already have like guys that should be playing point guard. He's not good, should not be on the roster. Okay.
He should not be in the NBA.
No, should not. Okay, Jaron Blossom game. Give him a lot of credit for working really hard, coming back from the leg break. They need guys of his size right now because they just don't have many wings. I think him and Jalen Jones, we can group them together, should not really be on the roster next year, I don't think. I think they're not really the kind of guys that would sign a two-way contracts either. I think they're there to fill minutes and days right now, and that is their function. They are basically there to just kind of come in and work.
Yeah, some people like Blossom game more than others, but no, I agree with you. They're just kind of warm bodies at this point. I mean, Blossom game's had some like intriguing moments because he's super bouncy and that can be fun sometimes, but like I don't think he really does anything well at an NBA level, and Jalen Jones just kind of exists, so.
Yeah, they're players. Okay, so we go to David Nwaba next. I just think, like, look, you have him under team control. He is 26, but you will be able to, again, he's going to be a restricted free agent. You have ability to probably sign him back to a multi-year deal in a pretty reasonable rate. The best defender on the team. Obviously, maybe he will never be a good shooter, but, like, cuts well, does some smart things. I'm a huge fan. Anyone who has heard me, like, talk about him knows I just think he's really useful. I think you keep David Nwaba. Maybe not like the perfect NBA player. Maybe there's some concerns if you got good and had to worry about like teams ignoring guys in the playoffs. It's not a problem for the Cavs. They can't be picky with talent, and David Nwaba could be a really useful, smart NBA player. And I just think you got to keep that guy.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement. I think that, you know, wherever David Nwaba goes, the fans like him a lot. He just seems like a guy who kind of makes teams better by doing the little things. Obviously, the Cavs have to look long and hard for strong defenders on their roster, and so him being one of those players is extraordinarily helpful, even though it doesn't show in the worst defensive rating of all time. I think that you should be able to match Nwaba, and you should be able to get him on a reasonable number, especially looking at what his market was last season, the fact that he struggled with injury a decent amount this year. It would be fairly surprising to me if he was priced out of the Cavs' range this summer.
So he is currently – he's under shooting guards, for which I don't quite understand why he's classified that way, but he is 9th in defensive RPM among shooting guards.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. In 21 games, 16.4 minutes per game at a .64 defensive RPM. Looking at this, did not know Danny Green was the league leader in that by like a significant margin. So good for Danny Green. They got
Spurs him. Give him up for free.
Yeah, for Jakob Poeltl. What are you guys doing? Couldn't even get OG. Okay, so going down the roster a little bit past David Nwaba, we're going to skip Jalen Jones. Look, we'll finish with Zizic and Sexton. Channing Frye, I think if they actually... if they want to just make him the new James Jones, that's fine with me.
No Deli?
Look, Deli's out on the team. He's just on the team. Okay? Like, there's just, like, he's going to be there. I just don't even, like, there's no need. He's just going to be there selling jerseys and getting, like, huge ovations when he checks in the game. That's where we're at with Matthew Dellavedova. That's what he's there for.
He also just, it's like the movie Like Mike when, you know, Calvin Cambridge finds the shoes. Whenever Deli puts on the Cavs jersey, it's like Calvin Cambridge putting on those shoes.
Oh,
and then
God.
Obviously you saw when he put on the Bucks jersey, it was like the shoes lost their magic.
He was so. Jonathan Lipnicki when like he puts on the Bucks jersey. That's who he is when he puts on the Bucks jersey. Oof. I wonder what Jonathan Lipnicki is up to. I wonder what little Bow Wow's up to. I don't even know. That's where we're at in the Cavs season. That's what I'm wondering right now. Okay, so Deli on the roster, just the look, Channing Frye, again, if he wants to be the new James Jones, that is fine. If he wants to retire and go play like a crap ton Overwatch, that's also probably fine. Whatever he wants to do is fine. I don't know if he'll be back.
The Cavs should hire Channing and Richard Jefferson to be their announcing duo and just call it a day.
Look, if Channing wanted to like settle in Cleveland and be the replace Austin Carr, wouldn't hate that. I think RJ is going to be doing like bigger things. He's already sort of doing bigger things, but I wouldn't hate that. But I think if they could keep him around as a locker room guy, I don't hate that for one of 15 spots. But I don't know how likely that is. So going to Colin Sexton, it's on the roster next year, obviously. Mike, just give me like the thing with him that you're most hopeful he could improve in the next year. What's like the thing that you would like really just like to see him iron out if he's going to be good?
I guess it's more of like a squishy thing, but I feel like the biggest thing for him is just adding strength. You know, he's obviously young. I think that his body filling out would help him in so many different areas, whether it's, you know, finishing at the rim through contact, whether it's keeping his consistent jump shot form, you know, kind of through the 3-point line, you know, whether it's getting over screens on defense. I just think that strength is such a large part of what he's missing right now, and it kind of flows through all of these aspects of his game. And so I think that that's kind of the most attainable thing in my mind that he can add in the offseason, and it would be, at least to me, it would be a big upgrade for him.
I'd agree. I think if I could just get him like to break the – if someone over the summer could like – play like an air horn every time he dribbles into a long two instead of taking a three. That's what I would do. Just something where like you could just like break that habit. Like it's just, it drives me nuts when he does this. Happens 2-3 times a game. Gotta break that habit.
I think that just like it goes back to the fact that he's not comfortable shooting threes because he's not strong enough to shoot them, and his form is terrible when he shoots them. Like, I just feel like he feels better when he shoots twos, like longer twos, because he can kind of keep his form more compact. I don't know. I just feel like it all flows back to the fact that he's just not very strong. And, like, I think Lonzo Ball is a good example of someone who's kind of in the same boat where, like, his legs just aren't strong. And, like, he added strength or at least mass, I guess, in the upper body in the off season, but like his legs just aren't strong enough for him to be consistent on his jumper. And like if his legs were stronger, he could kind of fix his jump shot form at the top a little bit. And I think it's just kind of the same for Sexton.
I don't think that's unreasonable. Okay, Ante Zizic, at 22 years old, has been hurt a little bit, has struggled to find real playing time. You know, I think if they're going to have these other bigs in the roster, he's just going to be behind them. If they moved on, he would be the guy that would really benefit from Tristan or Nance or Kevin Love being moved. Particularly, I think if Tristan was moved, there's an opportunity there for him to really maybe make a name for himself as a scoring backup center in the mold of, like, you know, Jonas Valanciunas Light. I think I've seen him move his feet okay. I think he does have a nice touch on the offensive end. Don't think he'll ever be a good defender. I think he's on the roster next year because I don't think you can just like be picky and cut talent. But I don't know if we're in year three of him and they're not really like just forcing minutes for him, that's not great for him either, because at that point it's just like what's really the point?
Yeah, I mean, if I were him, I would strongly be considering going back to Europe. I think that he could be pretty solid there, especially with his offensive profile. I just, I don't know. I mean, if you're literally playing on the worst team in the NBA and you're not getting burned, it's just hard to imagine that things are going to be fruitful for you going forward. But if he wants to keep on keeping on, I guess he can. But if I were in his situation, I would certainly be exploring my options.
Yeah, I think that's not unreasonable. I think if I was the Cavs, I think I would probably think if you could find a way to kind of make it work with him. But again, I don't know exactly like what the role for him would be. Okay, so let's run through this roster and just kind of I'm gonna tell you who if basically who like and John Henson, I think like I'm just gonna say I don't think should be on the roster next year if they could make that a thing. I just don't like he's under contract, but like if they could flip him, I think they should.
Yeah, I mean, if you can package him with Burks or something, could be a nice way to take on a bad contract and hopefully get an asset out of it as well.
Look, just Memphis Grizzlies, get me Chandler Parsons. Just like, please, just let me spend all of Dan Gilbert's money. That's all I really want to do. That's really all I want to do.
Can't think of better things to spend Dan Gilbert's money on than Chandler Parsons, maybe like a nice dinner or something.
Look, for my own hilarity, no. Like, just imagine, like, Chandler Parsons, like, having to, like, get, like, a room at the Cleveland Clinic for his knees as he, like, tries to play. It'd be great. It'd be a great tanking move too, frankly. Just bring him home.
He could be in practice yelling, "Let me play," and he'd probably honestly be like the best player on the floor, so.
Just imagine like him and Love, just like and Tristan, and just like this like super handsome group of NBA players just on this like garbage team.
I think he would be one of the five best players on the Cavs, regardless, even if he's has zero
Like
knees.
he has like one leg. That's fair. Okay. So Kevin Love, I think obviously like let's just say okay. I'm gonna run down the list and let's see how many guys are actually on the roster if Mike Zavgano is running the team. Okay, Kevin Love is a no.
Correct.
Jetty Osman is a yes.
Correct.
Tristan is a no.
Tristan's a maybe, I
Okay.
guess.
Okay. Hedge on that one. Colin Sexton is a yes.
Yeah.
Burks is a no.
Nope.
Hood is a no.
Hood's a no unless he comes back on a, $6 million or less deal, I guess.
Clarkson is a what?
Clarkson's a sure.
Okay.
I don't think the Cavs would be good enough to not need him next year.
Okay. Larry Nance is a yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Delly is just like he's there. Just can't do anything about it. Blossom game is a no. Nwaba is a yes. Jalen Jones is a no. Zizic is a no. Channing is a sure if you want to. John Henson is a no.
Yeah,
Okay.
Zizic just more like if I were his agent, I would be telling him no,
Yeah.
but the Cavs would probably keep him.
True. Okay. So let's this is the players that are if we were like putting the roster together, this is who Mike would have there. And I think most except for Kevin Love, I think I agree with this. So, okay, Jetty, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Delly, Nwaba, Zizic, because it's just kind of unavoidable. And I think that's it. And then you could throw Tristan in there, you could potentially throw Hood in there, and you could throw Love in there. So basically, like, this is going to be a different roster next year. Basically, I think, like, even if they're still bad next year, I think basically we can look at this roster now, and if you're a Cavs fan looking for like solace, this is probably going to be a different team when we're talking a year from now. I think it's kind of unavoidable.
And it would be incredibly encouraging if they were able to somehow pick up a second first round pick via taking on bad salary.
I will say this too. We'll talk about this on tomorrow's show. We're going to wrap it up here. But on the show I did with Trevor Magnotti, he thinks it's could be a reasonable thing to do if they end up picking like five, that they could trade back and collect like multiple first round picks instead of just taking the one guy at five. I think that could be an interesting way for them to get some lottery tickets. His take on the draft, I think tomorrow and then also on next week's show will really kind of inform why I'm sort of into this idea, but if they get one, it's obviously Zion, and you just don't think about it. You just run up there. You announce it at the draft lottery and like celebrate with MGK, like when they got Kyrie. But until then, if you aren't picking then, if you're picking way lower, I think you should look to get more guys and build youth. I think it should be youth and, like, Nwaba-like free agency signings. Don't spend money on things you don't need.
I agree with you.
Mike, wrap it up on this. Cavs are now losers of 11 in a row. Yes or no? I don't want any explanation. I don't want any further thought. Do they win a game on this road trip?
I have to look at the schedule.
Lakers? Okay, it goes. They played at New Orleans on Wednesday. They go to the... Who do they play Friday? They play the Rockets on Friday, the Lakers on Sunday. Then they play the Blazers next Wednesday, and then they have a finish with a back-to-back in Utah on Friday and Denver on Saturday before coming home.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're going to lose like their... That'll take them up to 16 games in a row because that's where they are with the Cavs right now. But this has been a longer episode of Locked On Cavaliers. Thank you so much for sticking around. Mike, thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.